Hi, everybody. I'm Lynn Petrak, Senior Editor at Progressive Grocer, and welcome to Top Women in Grocery. It's a podcast focused on the trends, topics, and interests that move women forward in grocery retail. We spotlight extraordinary women in our industry who've had successful careers and interesting lives and who make a positive impact on their workplaces and their communities. And today, I'm so excited to be talking with Mary Morcant, Chief Legal and External Affairs Officer and Corporate Secretary for Schnuck Markets Incorporated, and Stacy Brandt, Vice President of Operations for Schnucks. Welcome.
Hi.
Thank you so much for joining us. And I'm going to give a little bit more background on you. Mary, you are a previous Top Women in Grocery winner, correct?
Yes.
I thought so. And you oversee all legal and litigation matters, as well as regulatory compliance, government relations, food safety, asset protection, risk management. Mary also leads the company's business continuity efforts. She joined Schnucks in 2002, and before that was general counsel for the sister company, the Desco Group. She is a cum laude graduate of the University of Missouri. Go Mizzou. Where she earned a Bachelor of Science in Business Administration and a JD from the School of Law. Mary's community involvement includes serving as the current board chair for the Hawthorne Foundation, and she's a mentor in the Women's Mentorship Program and De Tocqueville Society member of United Way of Greater St. Louis, as well as supporting the Boys Hope, Girls Hope St. Louis and being active in her church. Mary and her husband are the proud parents of six children. So welcome, Mary. Stacy oversees 115 stores across eight divisions in four states and is a member of the Schnuck strategy team, which includes the company's most senior executives. She began her career at Schnucks in 1997, joining the company as a checker while attending college. She gained experience across a wide range of operations roles, including customer service manager, co-manager, store manager. She previously served as division manager, where she led store teams in three different divisions before being promoted to VP of operations in 2020. She's passionate about mentorship over the course of her two decades in the industry, and she's helped a number of her teammates grow in their careers. In her community, she's also active. She supports the Junior Achievement in United Way, and she was named one of St. Louis's most influential business women. She holds an Associate of Science from Parkland College and also attended the University of Illinois. She and her husband are the proud parents of two children and enjoy spoiling their three grandchildren. So welcome.
Thanks.
And I love the idea you had for this podcast because it resonates with all of us every day and probably manifests itself in every day, bringing your whole self to work. It's not just us. You know, I have my dog in the next room. I have my kids who are probably going to text me while I'm on here. So I know you know what that's like as well. So Mary, you had this idea on focusing on the whole person when it comes to the work-life balance. And why are you so passionate about it?
Well, probably because I'm the poster child. Mary, the attorney, can be, you know, very skilled in my technical expertise. And if that's the only piece that I bring to work every day, then I'm going to look at something and say, no, I don't think we should do that. Mm-hmm. But Mary, who's the attorney and the mom whose daughter brings to her a project she forgot about 12 hours before it's due for a diorama of the solar system. And I learned that there really is such a thing as blue saran wrap, and it looks like Pluto when it's wadded up into a ball. That Mary can look at a problem and say, you know what? I think we could do that if we're willing to do this and that. And so when you have a big issue or a problem, you know, I don't know about you, but I want creative Mary who has a lot of messiness in her life and that she brings to work too, to be part of finding the solution.
Resourcefulness, right? Absolutely. And whether it's
resourcefulness, there's a lot of descriptors for that.
Yeah. Tapping right into it. And what about you, Stacy?
Yeah. Mary's example is perfect. And the other piece of it is, I think when we feel like we have to segregate the pieces of our life from each other, that adds to what's already a lot of stress. And really what we've found is when we can bring our whole self, you're more centered, people work better, we get better results, we get better outcomes because we have creative Mary, but also because I'm not battling the stress of which persona am I supposed to be wearing today, mm-hmm. right now, where I am. And that well-rounded, all the pieces that all that brings really makes a huge difference.
Was there an aha moment for you? And I don't mean to bring this down, but when I was in my 20s, my mom passed away. And I remember going to work that day. Like, I felt like I had to. And I wasn't any good to anyone around me. And eventually I left. But that was an aha moment for me that shaped my career. And I guess I didn't even realize at the time it was about the whole self, but but it is. Did you have an aha moment for you when it was like, this is the mindset we need?
I think, you know, as I thought about this, I think my entire 30s, I missed my aha moment. And I lived in that space and I struggled. And I think, you know, when I didn't have that was as I started to get my first promotions and you get that first taste of sort of imposter syndrome and you think, oh, you know, I have to prove mostly to myself as I reflect on it now that I'm good enough to be in this spot, that, you know, I've earned the position here. And I think as I just gained maturity, had great mentors like Mary along the way, who really helped center in that, realizing, you know, I am enough. And I think the biggest aha or realization I had personally as I grew in my career was to give myself grace and understand nobody's perfect in all things all the time. And that's part of life. That's the messiness. That's where we learn our lessons. And it's okay, because everyone goes through that.
So, and we don't have to hide it, right?
Exactly.
Please don't. My ahas were probably a couple. So I like to say I have big kids and little kids, and my little kids are big kids, but they're always going to be little kids. And I raised my big kids one way and my little kids a different way. And the big kids at the beginning, you know, I wanted to give them the life that I had growing up. Well, my mom was a stay-at-home mom, so that would look very differently when you're a full-time lawyer and, you know, you work a lot. And, you know, I felt like I had to be the room mother. I had to be the Girl Scout leader. I had to be the den mom. I had to be at every party.
Yeah.
I had to pick kids up from school. Oh, and we'll go to the magic house and to the zoo, and I'll take you all these places and we'll do all these things. Well, I was Cruella de Vil on steroids. They'd say, well, why can't you do this? Because I'm mean, old, and crabby. The next kids, and I call them the do-overs. I had practice kids and do-overs. With them, I learned, and again, this is a process. It took a while, but dare to be bad. I don't have to be perfect at everything, because then I'm not good at anything. And so there are parts of my life that I'm proud to be bad at. And what that looks like is, you know, I won't invite you over to my house because you'll sit down and probably have three dogs worth of hair on your pants. And that's okay. And, you know, the kids have drawn with Sharpie pens on the walls, and that's not because they were well adjusted. It's because I didn't notice it. They, you know, I have a sign that says, please pardon the mess. We've lowered our standards with each child. So it's like, that's my dare to be bad. I'm okay with that. And with the little kids, I'd give money and say, you get one field trip out of me, one school visit, you better not be in trouble or you lose that field trip a year. And that's what you get from me. I'll give you money for field trips. I'll do whatever, but you're not going to know that I wasn't there. And I dared so bad that my oldest was away at college and she went to pick up my youngest who was in kindergarten from school. And I thought she was his mom. So, you know, I thought they succeeded in being really, really bad. You know, so it to Stacy's point, puts it all in perspective. And, you know, it's like, I don't have to be perfect. I don't have to, you know, and I'm enough as I am. And it doesn't matter, you know, that it doesn't matter that my dog like messed up on my shirt today. I'm still here with it. No, it's all good. Or that I have hair on my pants. But no, it's, and it's that I sometimes forget about, you know, that little voice, I can't get it away, but I am enough. And me doing my best is pretty darn good.
And with that, you know, giving yourself that permission, you actually become better in everything. You know, not trying to hit that standard of perfection and putting all your energy towards that and just being where you are and who you're with. And you know, certainly you have to prioritize and make efforts, but being okay with that really releases all that energy to then do the work that you want to do instead of striving for this ideal of perfection that somebody else is probably assigned to you.
And boy, is that contagious. Cause I remember when I had two older kids and I had two younger kids and I say the same thing. It's just like, they're like, well, why do they get to do that? I'm like, well, I learned some things, you know, over time, but it's contagious. Like they got to know if I was stressed about something and not giving my attention to them. And it was like, oh, I'm just not giving my attention to anything or everything right now. But when you give yourself that grace, they see it, they learn from it. Your colleagues see it, they learn from it. So it really does, it's one of those, you know, those ripple things that really does spread and improve everything around us, I think.
Absolutely. Agree completely.
That's a great point. And so, you know, if there's, do you have an example of maybe when you didn't use that holistic approach or how that turned out, or maybe there was an instance where you did and then you ended up kind of elevating everything? Is there an example that you could share?
Like I said earlier, I think, you know, early in my career, when I got my first big promotions, I wasn't good at doing that and giving grace. And I was trying so hard to be everything to everyone. And I was stressed, and the team got it. And, you know, looking back, I think once I grew into that, people would actually say, oh, you seem so much more settled now, or more approachable, you know, when you're not out trying to prove those things. And so, you know, more recently, when I took my current role, I think it really, I paused and stepped back and said, okay, who am I intentionally going to be in this space? And what am I going to be? And what kind of leader and example am I going to provide to these 10,000 teammates now that, you know, I'm interacting with? And I think I did it with much more grace and success, you know, when I took those life lessons along with me and applied it recently.
And I think I, you know, pretty much shared my worst, ugly, trying to be everything. And now, you know, it's how, to Stacey's point, who am I being? And how can I be a facilitator or clearing for people to step in and recognize their own greatness and what they're capable of and what they can do? And how can I give them some tools of my, you know, when I fell and skinned my knees and really messed up, how to do things differently and better? And how, you know, I've been doing this quite a while and a lot of learnings along the way. You know, how can I share that? And how can I help you, you know, lean in, dare to be bad, raise your hand, sit at the table, do things that I had to learn the hard way.
And the workforce has changed so much and the attitudes have changed so much that I don't think right now, if I had gone into work and something was going on terrible in my life, people would be like, go home. What are you here for? Go home. And it's how we were kind of brought up in the workforce. And I love to think that, you know, we are changing it for the better, that maybe young women who are coming into the profession don't have to hide and don't have to wear it all over their face. You know, I think Stacey, you said that, like, people can tell, you know, that, you know, something's changing. We wear it. It's visceral. Like when we're stressed like that. And I think young people, it's a gift. The gift of grace is great for them too.
I agree. The one thing I think that is a little bit of a watch out for all of us is, you know, certainly as a society, we talk about it more. It's more accepting. I mean, we're having this podcast, right? And we talk,
right,
you know, that concept and language of the whole person and health and wellness and what's the work-life balance are certainly more prevalent today than they ever were when we all started, you know, a few decades or more ago. But there is this resettlement or challenge. I think, you know, today's young women, as they come in, certainly have that space to step into. But as you go through the cycles of life, you do have to recenter yourself in that, because those demands and priorities are constantly changing. Whether it's, you know, I'm young, entering the workforce, I want to prove myself and get started. And then maybe I get a significant other or I get married and that changes the way things look and feel. And then when, you know, if you become a mother and you have children, and that changes the whole balance of it. And then, you know, even past that, then when the children, you know, the littles or big littles and, you know, just you and your significant other, yourself, changes the whole balance of that. And so I think it's a constant rebalancing, or at least intentional personal awareness of what's changing in the cycle of life that I need to pay attention to and make sure I'm nourishing my whole self.
It's the original continual learning across all aspects of our lives.
Yeah.
And, you know, how does the philosophy also reflect kind of the overarching mission of your organization and how it serves customers? How does this kind of fit into your company culture, the one you are part of and the one of that you help create and instill?
Well, to me, it's spot on. Our mission has been to nourish people's lives since 1939. And we've been doing it continuously for almost 85 years. And, you know, so that's where we start from. And that's how we, you know, the lens through which we design things for our customers, train our teammates. It's that's the mindset. And so to me, it fits perfectly because, you know, I nourish my life when I spend, you know, I know that 5 years from now, who's going to know, was it that work networking event or was it my child's play? Where do I need to be? My life is nourished when my CEO tells me that 20 years ago, gives me that amazingly powerful tool to decide, you know, to help me figure out what's important. We nourish it when, you know, we have these conversations. We nourish it through our employee resource groups. We nourish it through, you know, our culture work and how we equip people to, you know, recognize things in life are just gravity. It's nothing you can do to change it. It is what it is. And really, at the end of the day, the only thing you can change is who you are being about a situation. And so, you know, to me, it's interwoven and it's always top of mind in everything we do, whether it's developing strategy, whether it's developing training, whether it's, you know, how do we respond to a communication or a question? It's through this lens, this powerful lens of nourishing people's lives.
Yeah. I'd add, you know, not only that, when I think about, you know, store operations and our teammates on the front line, really, you know, reinforcing that with them both in their lives, but how are we connecting with customers? Whether it's that customer who comes in and really their only social interaction happens with our teammates when they're in the store, or it's going and volunteering and giving also our time to community organizations that are making a huge difference, you know, community, that's nourishing not only those customers, but ourselves personally. You know, those are things that help, you know, refill kind of our mood elevator and all of those things that lead in. And so there's moments, there's all of these moments in time you have the opportunity to really be present and take and give, you know, things that really enhance your life, whether it's a grandiose action or a snapshot in time when you go above and beyond. And the joy you get from that and the return personally is huge, in addition, you know, to that outreach across customers.
And that's actually one of the reasons we wanted to do this podcast is, could you tell we're passionate about this?
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely shows. So, do you think it's the nature of our industry? Because, you know, I get sentimental about this industry. I love this industry, and I think it's we nourish. That's what we do. So, do you think part of this is just you know, the people we're surrounded by and the thing we do every day?
I think it's certainly, you know, it's the foundation that we're grounded in. So there is probably a more natural leaning towards that. You know, we're really, and we tell new teammates this, like, really, we're feeding people. That's a really noble profession. And then we get the opportunity to connect and go even beyond, you know, just the food aspect of it and provide service and connection and community and all of those things. So I think certainly there's some foundation available there. And then I think, you know, the really great companies in our industry lean into that and leverage the huge amount of power that's in that, not only for the person, but, you know, frankly, it's good business.
It really is. And we talked about this a little bit before, but younger women just entering the workforce, how do you act? You obviously lead by example. How do you kind of actively mentor them too on this idea of, you know, bringing your whole self to work?
Well, I'm very, very, very passionate about mentorship and, internal and external to the organization and, you know, store level, support center level, you know, all, because it is to me so critically important. And that's becomes, you know, we talk, you know, we first develop a relationship so that, you know, I can't help you and you can't help me if we don't know each other. And then we really look at what are we skills and what do you want, you know, 6 months from now, what's going to be different about you because of our relationship and because of this partnership? And then what do we need to do to get there? And so much though, when it starts out as is career focused or job focused, what's so interesting is all the personal stuff that is part of that, because this is the whole person. And if I can help you with tools to equip you to deal with the personal, it makes the work part so much richer and better. And you never, and we never really realize that of like, oh, you mean the fact that, you know, that I'm doing this, this, and this at home, and it's really bothering me. Mm-hmm. And if we can fix how I approach it or deal with that, it's exciting to see, because then it's like, oh my gosh.
It is. And then it's amazing what you learn about people too, just through chit chat and small talk too. You learn about other people's lives and your colleagues' lives. And that opens up, you know, kind of all other kind of avenues just to learn more about their whole person. It's our whole person and it's their whole person too.
I think that's how you build that in the culture of an organization, is creating those, you know, conversations and opening the door for people to know, not only is it okay, we really want to lean into that, whether it's, you know, doing one-to-ones with your team. And I'm always very intentional first about, hey, how are things going with you? How is the family? Or I know you were struggling with this, or, you know, whatever the case may be, that I'm connecting to them, the person first. And then we roll that into, okay, hey, update me on this. Let's touch base on this. But you have to be very intentional. And the cool thing is they then pay that forward in how they lead their teams too.
Well, and it's the good, the bad, and the ugly, right? I mean, you could say something that's great. Oh, I've got my daughter's play tonight, or I have something serious going on and I might need a little support, like you said. So it really does cut across all aspects of lives for something that might be good that's going on in their life and something they might need help with.
And we have to, it's one by one. It's not cookie cutter. I mean, we have to really, everyone responds differently and everyone's issues are different. And at the end of the day, guess what? We're all dealing with something. We all have issues. And that's, to me, this whole person concept of how we lean in and make each other better.
It really rolls right into empathy. And how does this help with the longevity? Because I think, Stacey, is it you that started as a clerk? So we want these future leaders to stay in this industry a long time. And maybe our industry is unique in that. I think in a lot of ways it is. But we need to kind of keep that going.
Yeah, totally agree. And I think that's where, again, you know, I try always, I'm out in stores a lot and I get the chance to touch so many of our teammates in a way or connect with them. And so I always share about myself and my story and probably most often share when I mess it up, like, hey, let me share with you when I wasn't great at this. And give you a peek behind the curtain so that you can do better than I did. And the next generation can always be better. And really connecting and showing the opportunities, you know, in our industry. It's fast paced. It's challenging. It's unpredictable, all of which are things we love. But, you know, the counterbalance to that becomes super important. And how are you doing self-care and connecting with your family and making all those choices? And, you know, I think, you know, as we show you can do that and the benefits and fun of being in the industry, that helps create a lot of longevity.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, this is Top Women podcast and we focus on top women, but in talking with men throughout your organization as well, are they becoming more open to and being willing to, you know, to bring their whole selves to work? Maybe it's like a harder hoe on that, you know, road to hoe on that sense. But what do you think?
I say yes. I mean, I think they are. And I think they welcome it. I think they, that's been a missing, and not that, you know, we sit and hold hands and cry and, you know, right. But you know, they're as engaged and love talking about their kids. I came over here, just had a conversation with someone that was making copies at the machine. And I was like, how's it going today? And he's like, it's okay. And start to ask him questions. And, you know, his mom is struggling and his youngest child's going away to college. And, and it's just, he has a lot on his plate right now. And, you know, I can guarantee he's probably never had a conversation like what we had the conversation about.
Yeah. And to be able to give someone the chance to talk about that, boy, you walk away and you could probably, like, you know, we talked about, you see it on your face. Someone can like physically almost like, exhale or feel a little bit relieved to be able to open up about that.
Well, he promised me he's going for a walk in the sunshine for a mile today at lunch to get some energy out and to get, you know, so I guarantee he's going to look better.
Boy, and that's sure something, right? I mean, I think it was the other day I took a walk at lunchtime because I kept looking out the window because it's 70 degrees and sunny here when it's really supposed to be 30. And I said, okay, that's it. I have to go outside and go for a walk. And it's giving yourself that grace to do that.
Yep.
That's right. That's right. And seizing moments that appear, you know, I think sometimes when I look back and the things I regret were when I saw a moment or opportunity in front of me and I let some pre-constructed notion hold me back from doing that. And look, if you go take the walk at lunch, the world's still turning. Things are still happening. You know, if there's not some crisis to me, everything will still be there and you're going to come back to it better than you were before you did that. And way more effective. And so, you know, when those moments come, that's part of that being and being present is seize the moment when it comes.
Mm-hmm. It really does make you more energized and more productive. I really do believe that. At the end of the day, you do better work.
Yeah.
100% agree. I think you're talking to the two like biggest champions for that mindset.
That's right. That's right. So after today or after this discussion, are we all going to go for a walk somewhere or, you know, go call our kids?
We started at 3:30 and I started at 4:30 this morning.
Oh my gosh.
That's our time where we're focused and intentional and make time for us. And 100%, I know she was up then and I know, you know.
And I know Mary was. Mary always says there's no bad weather, only bad clothes.
There you go.
And I take that very much.
I like that. That could be our headline. No, that's great. Well, that's great. Well, thank you both for sharing your insights with us today. This was just a banner discussion. I just loved your insights. I love the permission. And I think our viewers and listeners will get a lot from it too. So I appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate you and giving us the opportunity to have this conversation because it's powerful messages. And I think it's, you know, we can change the world one person at a time and really, really appreciate the forum for this.
Yeah, completely agree. Couldn't have said it better, Mary.
There you go. You do finish each other's sentences. That's great. And it is. It's one moment at a time. So thank you again. And for more information about our Top Women in Grocery podcast, please visit www.progressivegrocer.com/podcast. You can also subscribe to this series wherever you typically listen to podcasts, including on Apple and Spotify. And if you have an idea for a Twig podcast like they did, we want to hear from you. So please email me at lptrack@ensembleiq.com. See you next time. Thanks again for listening. Have a great, impactful day.